are songs in the suns and the rivers and trees. Ears of your heart can hear them, and some come alive in the wicked eyes and the little time to see them.
I will listen to the deeper story. I will see how life's gonna move in me. I will listen to the deeper story. I will see how life's gonna move in me.
There are songs in my bones that won't leave me alone, calling for creation, and tunes that ride on the whispering wind, seeking incarnation.
I will listen to the deeper story. I will see how life's gonna move in me. I will listen to the deeper story. I will see how life's gonna move in me.
There are songs in the clouds that shout out loud in the dark voice of the thunder, and some that flash in the cool blue fire splits the sky asunder.
I will listen to the deeper story. I will see how life's gonna move in me. I will listen to the deeper story. I will see how life's gonna move in me.
There are songs that ride on the dancing tides that swirl through all the oceans, and some that sleep in the bitter seed grief will set in motion.
I will listen to the deeper story. I will see how life's gonna move in me. I will listen to the deeper story. I will see how life's gonna move in me. I will listen to the deeper story. I will see how life's gonna move in me.
Good morning. My name is Jay Joyner. I'm honored and privileged to serve on your Board of Trustees. Welcome to those in our sanctuary and those who are visiting online. Our Sunday service is at 10 a.m. Central Time, and you can watch our services at any time on demand at our website or on YouTube. If you miss the Unity Art Fair on Friday evening, you can walk through today and enjoy a variety of art and crafts from our talented community. You can also purchase art today, and a portion of the sales will go to Unity Minneapolis. Tomorrow night, we introduce a new Be Present with Grief circle held on the third Monday of each month. Come to be present with each other and any grief you are experiencing, led by Wendy Brown Baez. Are you interested in becoming a member or just learning more about Unity? Our next membership class is next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can check the schedule and sign up in the Garden Court. Enjoy time outside before winter arrives by participating in Saturday's fall cleanup. Together, we'll ensure that our church grounds are ready for winter. Bring your yard tools and gather at 9 a.m. on the patio. Get ready to be amazed at Science and Wonder Wizardry 101 on Saturday, October 28th. Join us for a carnival atmosphere throughout the building with hands-on science activities facilitated by knowledgeable, science-focused adults. Bring your friends and family. On Sunday, the 29th, Michael Schwengel leads an afternoon workshop on journeying the internal landscape. Gently place your rational mind in the passenger seat and access the wisdom and intelligence of your body through the felt sense. Come and explore the concept of focusing. And now, please join Reverend Pat for our opening prayer.
And this morning, I would like to share with you Unity's statement for peace. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, the many ways to worship God. For there is only one power and one presence of God, and that God loves each one of us equally. It is therefore the position of Unity Worldwide Ministries and Unity World Headquarters at Unity Village to urge all nations, their leaders and their people, to turn to God by whatever name for guidance during these challenging times and pursue peace, not war. For this is what honors the God of all our faith traditions. Unity stands for peace in our lifetime. Join me in prayer. Sweet Holy Spirit within, we are grateful that we know you today as peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our minds. And today we pray with Israel and Palestine, Russia and Ukraine, Sudan and Ethiopia, and all the other areas of the world that is in conflict. We affirm peace, peace. And we pray with their leaders that they open their hearts to the God of their understanding and remember oneness with each other and oneness with all that is. So today we are grateful. Grateful for the opportunity to come together and remind ourselves of this one presence and one power, and to remind ourselves of oneness with each other, and to know without a doubt that God is everywhere present. And we say thank you. We thank you for this wonderful day and the opportunity to step into it and to live it fully, all out. So it is great joy and enthusiasm that together we say thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And again, thank you, God. And yet again, thank you, God. Let's appreciate this day, okay? We invite you to stand for our opening song.
To all.
please be seated. We have the A-team here with us today, do we not? Yes. It's the original A-team. It's the original A-team. It's so good to have you. It's always good to have you back, Judy. Wow. Well, good morning. I feel your energy this morning. I feel that energy. Do you feel the energy in here this morning? Do you feel the love in here? Yeah. Let me ask that question again. Do you feel the love in here? Yes. This is one of the reasons why I want to be here in person each and every Sunday morning. I feel you, you know? And we welcome you today. We're so grateful you're in our sanctuary, and those that cannot be and you're live streaming with us today, we certainly welcome you as well. As you know, Unity is we teach practical things here at Unity. I believe we teach practical things that we can immediately put into our life and use it each and every day. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that that's one of the reasons why I think we are practical spirituality. We offer practical things that help us to live meaningful, healthy, and prosperous lives. We're also an open and welcoming, inclusive community. One of our core values here is that of welcoming. So I want to invite our ushers to come forth for a moment. And today, if you are new with us or you feel like you are new with us, we want to honor your presence here today. We invite you, if you would, to take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. Courage. We've got courage out here already. Keep your hand up, please. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. It's great having you here. That packet of information you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. There's a card in there if you choose to fill out any part of that card. And turn that into our book desk. We have a gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you and give you that personal one-on-one welcome. And all of that's important, and yet one of the most important things that I say on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this. And that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you are welcome here. We also welcome those that are streaming with us that are new or feel like they are new. There's a link there that you can fill out a contact card, and someone from our staff will reach out to you and give you that personal one-on-one welcome as well. We're grateful that you're with us today, regardless of whether you're in person or streaming. Let's appreciate our guests today, okay? Now, let's affirm our mission statement. Our mission statement is found in your order of service. May we affirm that together. Together, we are a vibrant, inclusive, prosperous spiritual community, inspiring and empowering full expression of the divine within through prayer, education, and service. Now, the reading of our daily word.
Now as we move even deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word, you are invited to mentally add your prayers to our prayer box. After the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court where you may add your written requests. You may also submit an online prayer request via our website. Your prayers are prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is generous. We affirm, the abundance of the world flows through me. I am securely in the flow of prosperity when I receive graciously and gratefully and share my abundance generously. Whatever I share with a loving, giving heart blesses me as much as it blesses the one who receives it. Each time I share of my supply, I am demonstrating my trust that I will always have what I need. When I share of myself, I am living my faith that I am a divine being empowered with a limitless supply of divine ideas. The richness of an abundant universe flows through me. Knowing this, I don't hesitate to be generous so others will know the abundance of the world as I know it. Through my giving, may they also know the blessings of the awesome power and grace of God as they bless me daily. Scripture tells us from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God." Our word for today is generous.
In the silence, there is a secret place, a secret meeting place. Love is there. In the silence, where every color blends and every rainbow ends, good is there. Paved with gold, and all your dreams unfold. Love is there. Peace is there. Truth is there. God is there.
In this moment, God is there. Let us join together now in a time of deepening awareness, deepening consciousness of our oneness, our connection, and our knowing that God is here through us and as us. And with each breath that we take this morning, let us move more deeply into that knowing, releasing the day, releasing the thoughts, fears, doubts, concerns, busyness. Let us pause in this moment. And as we do so, we recognize that love is also here. For God is love. And as we hold that thought, we allow that energy of love to spread. Consciously, or to recognize that it is there, our recognition spreads to see. Take another deep breath and allow ourselves to slow down, to pause. And in that pause, to be. To recognize our oneness with each other and in that love that is God. For it is we who co-create from that space. And as we let our awareness deepen, I invite you to hear these words again from Mark Nepo. The first breath is always life-giving. Slowly, how we think and feel and take in the world is directly related to being centered. The wisdom traditions all have some form of meditation or prayer that is aimed at showing us into the center, where the very pace of creation breathes. In their own way, all spiritual practices help us reclaim this centeredness, because being centered in this way plunges us again and again into that unseeable stream in which life is continually vital and refreshed. At the pace of creation, all things breathe the same way. So when we slow and open and center ourselves, we breathe in unison with all of life. And breathing this way, we draw strength from all of life. When we slow down and breathe, we reach like trees into everything open and whole skies of cloud drift in unison with the dreams of an entire people. If we can slow to the pace of creation, truth will sweep like a flood of birds from the mountains that we climb. At the pace of creation, the beginning enters us and we are new. When courageous enough to relax our souls open, the pace at which our mind thinks slows to the pace at which our heart feels. And amazingly, together, they unfold the rhythm with which our eyes can see the miracle waiting in all that is around us. Allow those words to speak to your heart as we move into the silence and pause. When courageous enough to relax our soul open, the pace at which our mind thinks slows to the pace at which our heart feels. And amazingly, together, they unfold the rhythm with which our eyes can see the miracle waiting in all that surrounds us. And so it is.
If there's one thing in my life that's missing, it's a time that I spend alone, sailing on the cool, bright, clear waters. There's lots of those friendly people showing me ways to go, and I never, ever want to lose their inspiration. It's time for a cool change. I know that it's time for a cool change. Now that my life is so prearranged, I know that it's time for a cool change. Well, I was born in the sign of water, and it's there that I feel my best. The albatross and the whales, they are my brothers. It's kind of a special feeling when you're out on the sea alone, staring at the full moon like a lover. It's time for a cool change. I know that it's time for a cool change. Now that my life is so prearranged, I know that it's time for a cool change. Well, I've never been romantic, sometimes I don't care. I know I may sound selfish, let me breathe the if there's one thing in my life that's missing, it's the time that I spend alone, sailing on the cool, bright, clear waters. There's lots of those friendly people showing me ways to go, and I never ever want to lose their inspiration. Time for a cool change. Now it's time for a cool change. Now that my life is so prearranged, now that it's time for a cool change.
So, what change are you experiencing in your life right now? You don't have to answer that aloud, okay? But more than likely, if you're not experiencing a change or a threshold in your life, you're not growing. For it is only through change that we grow and that we evolve. Change means getting out of our comfort zone, getting out of our nest. I recently read something that God provides for the birds, but the birds have to get out of the nest to get it. And guess what? We too have to get out of our comfort zone. We have to have the courage to move through the change, cool or not, that God has placed in our heart. We are in the third week of our series based on the book by Karen Herring, Trusting Change, Finding Our Way Through Personal and Global Transformation. This is such a timely study for me and hopefully for you. Not only have we been through all the changes of COVID and what we are currently experiencing as a community, as we begin to move into a new location and then back again and make this building fully accessible. Sometimes it doesn't feel so good. And yet, we must not forget that there are also positive changes in the world as well. And I think sometimes when I look out here, especially with the news today, I can totally get drawn into that. And I'm not saying that that's not important. Absolutely, it's important. And yet, at the same time, we must remember the progress and the changes that we've made in our own world. So when we look at reality, let us take in the whole picture. The whole picture, just not the parts that hurt. So let's remember God as wholeness. The book Trusting Change guides us through the process of changing on a very personal level. And right off the bat, Karen reminds us that when we change on a personal, individual level, it affects the transformation of the world. And vice versa. When the world changes in a positive way or a negative way, it also affects us on a personal level. In the beginning of the book, she refers to this as change echoes. And I love that. Change echoes. Isn't it wonderful that I know that I can make a change in my personal life for the good? And it affects the entire world. Do you get that? Do you kind of believe it?
Yeah, yes.
Some of you do, and I appreciate that. But Jesus was so clear. Jesus, our teacher, was so clear when he says, if I be lifted up, I lift all others with me. So if I begin to change my consciousness through this change process, we affect the world. Then also, I love the fact that she reminds me that change is a shared task, that we are not intended to go through this alone, but with each other. And I'm grateful for this spiritual community that is part of my each other, that supports me through the processes that I continue to go through, sometimes kicking and screaming. And you still support me. And then the other thing that she reminds us of is that we embody change. Change affects our bodies. And so she reminds us to listen to our bodies, our internal guidance for living. And of course, all of this is so true in our unity teachings. We're all one, regardless of our behavior or the other person's behavior. What one affects, what one does, we're all concerned about it. It affects us all. When we go through change, Karen Herring reminds us that she calls these changes thresholds, thresholds. And last week, Reverend Tony reminded us that we are all thresholders and that we are going through a threshold. And that threshold describes a passage or a doorway itself or a large entrance to a building or a home. It is that place of separation, of leaving something behind as we move into a new direction. Karen says that the three major movements of this threshold is no longer, the pause, and not yet. You still with me? Good. Thank you for all five of you still being with me, okay? But she also goes on and she gives us 10 skills that we can use, that we can experience as we move through these thresholds in our life. We began with no longer last week. And Reverend Tony spoke of letting go. And of course, this is something we speak of and sing about and everything else here at Unity. It is the first skill. Letting go and living on the threshold requires the courage to delve in the darkness of the unknown and to discover other things. Letting go and crossing a threshold can feel like stepping into an open field, unsure of where we are or where we are headed. And I don't know about you, but I want to know where I'm going and where I'm headed. I want to know my final destination. But letting go sometimes is mostly about not knowing. A man named Jack was walking along a steep cliff one day when he accidentally got too close to the edge and fell. And on the way down, he grabbed a branch which temporarily stopped the fall. He looked down, and to his horror, he saw the canyon straight down more than 1,000 feet. And he couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up the steep wall of the cliff. So Jack began yelling for help, hoping that someone passing by would hear him and lower a rope or something. Help, help, is anyone up there? Help, help. And he yelled for hours, but no one heard him. And he was about to give up when he heard a voice, Jack, Jack. Can you hear me? Yes, yes, I hear you. I'm down here. I can see you, Jack. Are you all right? Yes, but who are you and where are you? I am the Lord, Jack, and I am everywhere. The Lord, you mean God? That's me. God, please help me. I promise I'll get down. If I get down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll be a really good person. I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Easy on the promises, Jack. Let's just get you down from there, and then we can talk. Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully. I'll do anything, God. Just tell me what to do. Okay. Let go of the branch. What? I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me and let go. There was a long silence. And finally, Jack yelled, help, help, is anyone else up there? Wow. All of us sometimes needs the courage to let go and to drop into the darkness or into the arms of God. And it takes courage. The second threshold that Reverend Tony spoke of, she spoke of grieving. Grieving was what was and not as, and not sure of the unknown. It's the opening of sorrow to receive the transformation it carries. It's why grieving is a primary skill on the threshold. Did you hear that? Her Karen's words. It is the opening of sorrow to receive the transformation it carries. It's why grieving is a primary skill on the threshold. And it takes what it takes. Reverend Tony reminded us last week that mental health professionals recently extended the official duration of the grief process from 2 to 6 months. Really? Regardless of what the overculture or the professionals tells us, it takes what it takes in the grieving process. And I'm so grateful for the grieving group that begins, I believe it's this Monday night. The third skill we're going to look at today is equanimity, which is part of the no longer process still. It's following letting go and grieving. Equanimity is a term for composure, for emotional calmness, and the presence of mind, particular in trying circumstances. Webster says it's mental calmness. It's mental calmness, it's composure, it's the evenness of temper, especially in a difficult situation. Equanimity is about not becoming attached to one particular telling of our story, which is especially important when naming what is no longer. Does it always have to be the same way in telling our story? Is there always blame? Is there always, oh my goodness, it's their fault. They hurt me. I'm not responsible. He or she did me wrong. Practicing equanimity is about the importance of making room for new experiences and new endings, such as tragedy also can bring an abundance of love. We've seen that. Tragedy even helping bring families together in love. And we've also seen also that a blessing can also bring loss. There's an old story from China that tells it well. A farmer tells his neighbor that one of his horses has run off, to which the neighbor replies, "How unfortunate. What bad luck." And the farmer shrugs and says, "We'll see." A few days later, the farmer updates the neighbor, reporting that the stray horse has returned with a whole pack of wild horses, which the farmer is now keeping. "Marvelous," exclaimed the neighbor. "What good luck." The farmer shrugs and says, "We'll see." And a week later, the farmer tells the neighbor his son was breaking the wild horses and was thrown from the horse and broke his leg. "That's terrible," the neighbor replied. "What bad luck." And the farmer says, "We'll see." The next month, war is declared, and all able-bodied young men are required to report for military service, whether they are needed at home or not. And the farmer's son, still recuperating from the broken leg, stays home. "How fortunate," says the neighbor, whose own son must leave for battle. To which the farmer, "We'll see." "We will see" does not mean that we don't care. It does not mean that we do not care. I want to share something that she writes about. She says, "What would it take to say, 'We'll see,' upon every development on our thresholds? To remember that the story is never complete while we are still living it. To remember history is still unfolding and its dialectics can surprise us. Saying, 'We'll see,' is not denying the reality of our circumstances or the world. Nor does it ask us to step back when we are called to speak out when we or others have been wronged. Rather, it equips us to step forward, because then the future is not exactly decided. It will still be influenced by our own response to the present. Saying 'we'll see' is an antidote to both complacency and despair, a call to wake up and be aware that everything can happen and that we have a part to play in determining what that everything will be. The threshold skill of practicing equanimity means this kind of wakeful living without judgment or inertia. It challenges assumptions that it's just the way things are. What would it be like for us to live in this threshold and say, "We will see," and be open to unlimited possibilities? And yet sometimes when we are in this threshold, we want to blame other people. We want to blame other people for us being in the midst of this change. She also has a lot to say about blame, or a few things to say about it. And I want to share a couple of them with you. Blame can be a charged word. Some of us automatically turn it outward at others or at the larger world for being such a brutal and punishing place. Some of us automatically turn it inward, counting ourselves responsible for everything that has gone wrong, even when the evidence points elsewhere. As a threshold skill, equanimity means we can name those responsible for the past events while unhitching them from the rest of the story. Do you get that? We can say, yes, this is part of the responsibility as well, but we don't have to drag it all the way in through our threshold and to a new way, into a new way of living. Jesus says it beautifully in Matthew when he says, hey, basically, before you get the speck out of your neighbor's eye, get the log out of your own eye. Before you begin to blame, get that log out of your own eye. I recommend that we begin each day with words that affirm God is the source of all. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. Nothing can separate me from God. That helps me to maintain my balance and centered in difficult times. Also, an affirmation I suggest is promoting the state of mind of peace and calm is God is with me and all is well. No longer is part of the threshold. No longer, and the skills are letting go, grieving, and equanimity. Karen, in her book, also suggests that the next part of our journey through this process is the pause. The pause. For us, pausing is the threshold. It is our ability to linger and dwell in between, to perch in the unknown long enough for entirely new possibilities to emerge. The pause is about stopping, ceasing our efforts to control and determine future outcomes based on what we've known in the past and what we've expected in the future. The first skill in this pausing process is that of stillness, often referred to as silence. Stillness and silence opens up the power in the presence of God. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of our movement, says that stillness is a mental state of infinite peace, rest, and tranquility, where one's senses are hushed and he or she abides in God. We know our oneness with God. In the Bible, it's spoken of in 1 Kings, stillness and peace and a still small voice. Prior to that, God was referred to primarily in nature of thunder and lightning, and God was also a very judgmental God there as well. Let me share with you. It was Elijah in 1 Kings. You might remember the story. Elijah was running from Jezebel. Has anyone heard of the story Jezebel before? Thank you. So anyway, he was running for his life. Jezebel was trying to kill him. And basically he ran and he hid in a cave. He hid in a cave on a mountaintop. And when the word of the Lord came to him saying, what are you doing there, Elijah? He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord and the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. And God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. Sheer silence. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And there came a voice to him, said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He heard that voice in the stillness and in the quiet. And the story goes on. It was through the stillness and the quiet that he received his next instructions on what to do. Joel Goldsmith, in his wonderful book, Living Between Two Worlds, says that silence is the most powerful thing in the world. Wow, let me just share a little bit of that with you. Silence is the most powerful thing in the world. Spiritual power cannot be expressed in words or thoughts, nor can it come through words or thoughts. Only through silence, when the senses are at rest, can spiritual power be released. You wonder why we teach meditation? You wonder why we teach silence? Because that is where God speaks to us, within the stillness and the silence. Spiritual power means introducing the Spirit of God into the situation. And not to prove right or wrong, but then letting the chips fall where they may. When we enter meditation and close our eyes to this world, let us remember that we are behind the door that opens to infinity. Through our consciousness, we have access to the infinity of God, the activity of God, the substance and the law of God. All this is within us. Let us enter into meditation and go to the Spirit for the purpose of enlightenment and a complete freedom from concepts, and then receive the truth in the presence of God. There's fulfillment. There's freedom. There's freedom from any sense of limitation. When we see things out in the world, what we so often want to do, speaking for myself, I want to go fix it. I want to fix it first. And Mr. Goldsmith right here says, no, stand still first. Stand still in the silence and go to the silence first. We like to say we go to the silence and then we go to humankind as that silence or that God directs. And so often I can forget that step. So your assignment, if you choose to accept it, well, I know at least one person that's actually thinking about it in a big way. It's very simple. I encourage you to pick up the self-study out in the garden court. It's fabulous. It really generates a lot of thought. I invite you to pick up the book and begin using that, the guide and the book together. You know, adult education is so much about getting up and getting it for yourself. I invite you to get up and get it for yourself and be open to change and transformation in your life. Then I also would like for you to, think about what threshold or what change you are going on, what's happening in your life right now. And I want you to journal about it. And then I would like for you to find a trusted friend in confidence to share with them what change that you're going through in your life. And then, of course, I invite you, if you're not doing so, I invite you to begin the practice of solitude and stillness and silence. Do it. Write about it and see what you experience. So how you doing out there? I love you. I bless you. And I'm going to hear a lot of silence this week. And so it is. Amen.
Speaking of change, when I woke up this morning, something changed. So the song will still be yours. I'm going to do it. We got it. Don't we have it, Lori? Yeah.
Almost. Just a safety valve. Got it.
Thank you. Where do you want it?
October morning, there's a sense of autumn on the rise. She steps into the wind and sadly sighs. Why does it always seem to be? There's a cold December wind in front of me before he fills his empty evening. Unless he feels that there's a chance to find something that can give him peace of mind. Is there a place where you can go? A little something you should know to turn the tide to your favor. Wait a little while to welcome what you're after. Give it the time to find its way to you. Soon as you no longer try, turn and find it standing by your side. Come and get it, When we let it, it'll come to you.
Better with a sore throat than most of us do with a healthy one. Honestly. You guys are awesome. Lori, nice. Dave, Peter. Aren't they great?
Yeah.
And Reverend Pat.
Yay.
Thank you. Yes. And if you get a chance, if you didn't do that today, watch Aiko. If you've never watched her do her thing, you're missing out. Now she's blessing. I wonder if she signed that one. Okay. We're blessed, are we not? We are so blessed. Amen. Amen. We are so blessed in this community. And I want to thank you all. Thank you all coming in on live stream and those of you who are here this morning. It's such a blessing. It's such an energy, a lifting. And at the same time, you can feel that inner connection. So we thank you for that. And it's time now for us to give thanks in that form of returning to this community of our treasure as we have been blessed. We take this gift, these gifts that come this morning, those that come in through the week, and we then take them out into the community, our own community, the community at large, as a blessing to return the abundance, to see it through moving through us in support of what's needed. So I ask our ushers to come forward. I ask you now to take that gift. You can have it in many forms. It can be physically with you now. It could be, for those of you online, going to our website and using the donate button there. There's a QR code in floating around here. You can use the QR code to make a gift through Venmo or PayPal. You can write a check. You can put it in the mail. So many ways to show your gratitude and to give back into this community. So let's take however that form is for you, put it in your hand, and let us bless it with our divine, our offering blessing. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And so it is.
Let's take a moment as we bless these gifts. We bless all the gifts that's been received in the mail this week. We bless those participating in our consistent giving program, our unexpected income program. And we send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission of a transformed world. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. Inviting our on-duty Unity prayer chaplains to please stand. These individuals arrived early. They held sacred space in the sanctuary. They're here to hold that sacred space with you. They're here to listen with the ears of their heart, to pray aloud with you, and then to hold what they have heard in the strictest of confidence. So today, if you have a prayer request, by all means, seek out a prayer chaplain. And those of you that are online, there's a number there that you may call as well if you would like prayer. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to acknowledge that Friday night was an absolutely wonderful event. We had many artists showing here, and the art is still up, and you want to see it. If you were one of the artists that showed here this weekend, would you please stand and let us appreciate you? Just stand for a moment. Beautiful, beautiful. I just want to remind you, too, that this coming weekend we have membership class. If you're interested in membership in this community, by all means, come and explore that this weekend. The details are in our garden court. And then don't forget, this coming Saturday is fall cleanup. We invite you all to participate that in as well. Come and be a part of that. It can be a lot of fun. So come and let's have a good time. Wow, we're grateful that you're here. Just look around the room for a moment. Just look around the room, you know, look to your right, look to your left, stand up, sit down, you know, whatever. But I want you to just really appreciate each other. Speak to someone before you leave, because we're here to support each other in this change process that we're all going through. With that, I think I hear children out there. Let's stand and let's bring them in, okay?
We are walking in the light, in the light.
In the light. Thank you, everyone. Our YES, so our pre-K to fifth graders, we're talking this month about our Unity family. So we're expanding our idea of family. So we read the story of the Good Samaritan and talked about how we can be brave even when it's hard. And we know all of our Unitines and YOU going on the youth retreat. We're going to meet in the Unitine room after service. So go grab your refreshment and join us up there. And I have a Unitine who's going to talk about what they did in class.
Hi, I'm Lily, and today in Unitines we talked about the nature of Jesus and like that kind of thing. So yeah. I don't know.
Thanks, Lily.
I'm grateful you talked about Jesus. We all have to deal with Jesus. You know what I mean? So I'm really grateful you talked about that. Let us know together our prayer for protection and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine and all is well.
Keep on.